We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Kyle Mabry is our technical director today. The producer for Focus is Harriet Williamson. First Friday of the month, September 2nd, 2011, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. So we look forward to your telephone calls and your email messages, your questions, comments, stories about dogs. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll free 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. Will, and the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Welcome back. Good to see you.
I can't believe it's September.
It's
already.
September, but it feels like July, August.
I know. Good to see you.
I'm tired of all this heat. This never happened when Ed was here. So let's give him a call. Let's get him back here.
Okay. Well, you know, Ed and Lucia listen to this show.
Do
because
they
love you guys and they love dogs. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll call in today.
Okay, so
I miss
good.
Them both.
They might not listen live, but on the podcast they get the podcast.
Oh, good. Okay.
They listen
yeah.
dead.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, it's 91 degrees already.
Yeah.
And it's September.
Yeah.
Something wrong with that.
I guess they said there was going to be a heat alert issued. I think it was issued 7 minutes ago. I don't know what happens between 10:45 and 11, but 11 was the trigger.
Yeah,
so
11,
I guess we all feel hotter at 11 o'clock. That must be it.
A heat advisory went into effect at 11 o'clock.
Yes. I can feel it already.
I don't want to advise the heat of anything. I want it to stop.
Well, I spent Wednesday and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur.
It was kind of warm out there, wasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes. It was brutal. But, you know...
Was
it was
dusty?
For work, and it was fun, yeah. and I had a great time. And since everybody around me was miserable, there was no point in even talking about how hot it was, because that
yep.
was quite evident. So,
no use to complaining.
Nope, no use to complain. It doesn't change it. So
how are the dogs?
They're great, and they
hot.
Yeah, the air conditioning went back on to my chagrin, but that's the way it is, because I love not having to pay for AC or heat. But their welfare is most important, so...
Sunday, you'll be able to turn it off.
Yeah, it's supposed to cool down or mm-hmm. something. That's great.
I think that's a good idea. Don't pay for the heat. It'll go away. We've been paying for this.
Oh, how you interpret what people say is escapes
it's
me.
It's been foolish. I mean,
let's take a call.
Oh, okay.
What
okay.
do you say? This is a listener in Champaign on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about an older dog. We're going to be inheriting my father-in-law's 8 or 9-year-old black lab, and he's never been fixed. My father-in-law passed away about a month ago, so I know the dog is depressed about that. So just any opinions on getting him neutered, as I'm kind of leery of bringing him into town with his essence intact, shall we say.
You know, let your vet may help you make that decision.
Okay.
When a dog is 8 or 9, they're getting older, and the he must have lived out in a country atmosphere prior to coming to live with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to be picking him up in a couple weeks. So.
Yeah. Talk to your vet first and let him assess how he might tolerate anesthesia and the surgery. It's not dramatic surgery, but the anesthesia... In an older dog, those things come into play.
Okay.
Jim?
I agree. It's not as much of an issue, but in town, there are always females in heat somewhere, and the odor is constant. So what happens is everybody gets used to it. The dogs get used to it. Out in the country, that's not necessarily the case. So there may be... a breedable female close by, and I don't know if he was confined. And
yeah, he had puppies a couple times.
Yeah,
He knows what that's all about. So.
I was going to say, if he hasn't been used in his life, it probably doesn't matter. If he has, it...
You might want to explain what you're saying.
Used means he's a father.
Yep.
That's very hip breeder talk here. So I'm using advanced terms like used that are confusing Carol, but he might start challenging your fences or whatever you have to confine him. And if he's a male lab, I'm going to assume he's around 80 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, he can do damage to a fence pretty easily.
So dramatic.
He's
not going to destroy your fences. It's not a Sherman tank.
Yeah, well, call back next month to tell us. I've been managing stud dogs for 40 years.
I know, but I have an intact male, and I've never had a problem with him. Never.
He doesn't even want to go out on a date?
He's not been used.
He doesn't want to borrow the car?
He's not been used.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I will see what happens when we bring him home and go.
But talking to the vet is a good idea. He's not an ancient dog by any means, but when they do get up in age, anesthesia does become an issue.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Let's take another call coming in now, line 2. Good morning.
Good morning. Celeste, I just want your listeners to know that Arturo Sandoval's concert that was to be held tonight at the Music Barn in Allerton has been moved to Folinger Great Hall. They're going to give us relief from the heat. So just letting everybody know that.
Okay, that's really good news. I'm going to have you say it again because that's really good. People will be in the air conditioning.
Yes. And tonight's performance that was to be at 8 p.m. at Allerton has been moved to the Folinger Great Hall at Krannert, still at 8 p.m. because of excessive heat.
Okay. Can we bring our dogs?
I don't think so. Sorry.
Okay, just trying to relate it to the show.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the time to announce.
Okay. Thanks for the word. When she started, I thought it was going to be canceled, but that's good. They moved it to Krannert.
Yeah, that is nice. Except if you like the atmosphere of Allerton, which is also very nice.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah, like hot and humid.
Really hot. Really hot.
You know, I'm telling you, after the last 2 days, I don't think the heat will ever bother me again. I think I'll just revel in it.
And I would imagine there are a lot of mosquitoes there, too.
Could be.
I don't know.
You are in such a mood today.
I'm hot. I'm cranky.
God.
I wanted to follow up on our first caller. Do you think that there will be any kind of issue in terms of the dog missing his old digs and missing his
owner? Yes. It's going to be an adjustment for him, not to mention the owner's gone, but everything he's known perhaps all his life is going to be gone. So they should probably wait a couple, 2 or 3 months before they do anything major that would, just let him get comfortable and live with his new family. Hopefully their fences will stay intact as they turn the raging beast loose in the backyard.
The fences may be intact, but he won't be.
But anyway, I would give him the benefit of the doubt and let him adjust to his new lifestyle.
Okay. Labs are pretty good.
Yeah, but, they're a sensitive dog.
Well, yeah. Yes.
It's good that he's moving in with family, so he knows these people, but it's just going to be different for him.
Yeah.
And we need to be aware of that.
When we took in the cat that we have, it took him a while to adjust. It did. It was about 6 months to a year before we really saw his personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little skittish. He was quite skittish. And when we put our coats on the poor guy, he'd get all,
because you were leaving?
Yeah. Or am I leaving,
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah. So it takes a while. But it's worth the wait.
Yes, it is worth the wait.
It's worth the wait.
You're absolutely correct.
So this is Focus, and this morning we're talking about dogs with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim and his wife, Robin, raise Malamutes, and Carol, she has a Golden and a Doodle. If you'd like to join us this morning with questions, comments, stories, about dogs, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And I want to say that Carol is featured on a billboard in town, and it looks great.
It's the what makes it look great.
It's that hemorrhoid thing, isn't it?
See?
He is in a space.
You need
today.
To be in 70 degrees always. It's what's so eye-catching about the billboard is all the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all beautiful and well-behaved. And
Photo was shot at the club.
Yes, it was shot at the dog training club. These are just members' dogs that are well-trained, and we had a great time, and I'm laughing because I'm watching the antics of the owners facing me trying to keep their dog's attention. So, yeah, it was a fun event. There were many, many, many photos taken, and some dogs didn't make the final one. I never got to see any of the proofs. I just got to see what they had selected as the one that was going to go up.
So check it out. It's at Vine in Maine.
Oh, yeah. And it's
Are there others?
Yes. North Mattis. There's an electronic sign on Neal Street near St. Mary's Road. And then somebody told me this morning they saw me at another spot in Urbana. But there's other companies. By the way, it's for Freestar Bank. They approached us and asked if we'd be interested in their marketing campaign. Yeah. And never shy of those opportunities. Yeah. So
well, it's interesting because on the sign it says, works for me, and I can hear you say that.
Well, I actually personally use Freestar Bank, too, as does the Dog Training Club.
Okay.
They've been our friend for many years. So, okay.
What do you say we take another call?
Ooh, a call.
Okay.
Let's take the call.
Okay, let's take the call. This is a listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about we have a black lab that just turned 5, but we've only had her since May. We adopted her from the Humane Society, and she's absolutely wonderful. Just wonderfully behaved. I'm trying to find some direction, though, as to how to make it a little easier. Every day we go out. She's become my running partner. We run or walk every day, which she loves. She's an athletic dog, and it's a highlight of her day. The only trouble I have is when we pass other dogs. She's so friendly. She wants so much to interact that I usually have to stop, keep her with me, get by the other dog, and move on. But it can be a little bit difficult because of her size. And she's gotten much, much better as we do this very, very regularly, you know, less reactive of it. But I'm just wondering, we went through a basic training class with Humane Society. Are there any classes or what kind of direction can I get to work with her on that?
I just worked with a woman about a month ago with a Golden. She had a similar issue. He was very friendly, and if he saw another dog, he'd want to go greet the dog, which unfortunately meant crossing in front of her. And
right.
So we worked on that, and actually, and I know Jim's just going to moan and groan and roll his eyes, but we started with a gentle leader.
Oh,
so she had more control over the dog, and he could pant and so forth. He could do everything. Now, she was not a fast runner, and she was very, very aware and cognizant of what he was capable of doing and would bring him home if it was going to be too warm.
Right.
But because it's the highlight of his day as well, he wanted to participate to the level that he could.
Yeah.
So she hasn't called me back and told me it didn't work, so I'm assuming that has been somewhat successful.
Well, with my dog, she's in better shape than I am, so it's her staying with my pace, but which she's tolerant of. But and I also always take a cup, and we go through the park and fill up water stops regularly on hot days. But as far as the gentle leader goes, I actually tried to have her fitted for a gentle leader harness, which didn't work out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the trainer at the Humane Society suggested is to, when she's pulling, to hook the leash on the front of the harness by her chest rather than on the back on the top of her shoulder. And that seems to work pretty well. I hook it there, and then when she's not pulling at all, I just unfasten it and put it on her shoulder. But that doesn't necessarily help when we're passing right by dogs. She will still, and she doesn't run over to them anymore the way that she used to, but it's still an effort for me to hold her by my side.
I don't know what a gentle leader harness is.
Is that the one that squeezes them? No. The gentle leader walking harness has the O-ring in the front, in the middle of the chest, as opposed to between the shoulders.
Right.
And they do work. I have never found harnesses comfortable to use myself, but those do work because the dog then does tend to stay by your side instead of crossing in front. It's almost impossible for them to move in front of you because their body will kind of
turn.
So, and I would never use a regular harness with a O-ring on the back because dogs like to pull and that's encouraging her to pull. The gentle leader walking harness would be great to use. The gentle leader halter would be great to use. But I think you've solved your own problem that with frequency, these behaviors have started to diminish.
Right.
And yes, it's still going to be hard, but eventually, I do believe, and if you're passing another dog and she pays no attention to it, then reward that behavior. Let her know that's exactly what you expect of her to do.
Yeah. And I praise her if she keeps going without, you know, she may pull just a little bit or step toward them, but if she'll keep going, and to her, it's a reward to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like to have to stop and wait and be, you know, interrupted, but so I'm trying to praise small improvements, but you think that eventually it'll just get better?
You know, I do think that you've hit on it and just you understand what it is that's making her enjoy the run. She doesn't like to stop, but she's compelled to stop to visit the dog, and the reward and praise that you give her, even if it's just verbal, and the continuation of the run would be sufficient. You've only had her since March?
May.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was an M month.
It was an M month, but
I think you're on the road to success.
Okay.
Whatever you do, good. Don't run today until about midnight.
Oh, we ran at 6 o'clock this
morning.
Okay, good. So we were good. Yeah, I'm real careful about it.
Yeah, they're coming with a black dog in the sun. Even if you stop for water, you are not going to be able to put enough water in her to keep her hydrated.
Yeah.
On a day like today.
Yeah, I've been very conscious of that this summer, and if it's too hot, then we just walk. So, but, well, good. Thank you very much. And I also You said that you just don't like harnesses at all?
That's my personal preference. I don't. I don't use them.
Is that because of the comfort for the dog or because
No,
of the...
I just don't like to use them. I can't really validate that because it's a personal preference on my part.
Well, what does this harness do?
It wraps under her chest and we got it at Prairie Feeds.
I wouldn't be opposed to the gentle leader harness because it's constructed for a specific purpose. What I'm opposed to are just the harnesses that people use on their dogs.
Especially
little dogs.
That's what is confusing because if you put a harness on your lab, she'd pull you down the street.
Well, and she's not a strong puller. I mean, she's really...
She should have every bit of mechanical advantage
could.
On you. And
she definitely could. The reason I got the harness is that I didn't like to pull with the collar around her neck. I didn't like to pull against her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought the harness would be a little more comfortable for her. But I take it off. I only do that during our long walk or run in the morning. She doesn't wear it other times of the day. But I guess I thought that would be comfortable.
I'm sure it is, but I'm just talking about the regular little harnesses that people put on their dogs with the ring between the shoulders, and the dogs pull against that because it encourages pulling, in my opinion. That's the same for everybody.
Well, you know, with the Malamutes, we always have harnesses on them in the winter for weight pulls and sledding and things like that.
Oh, right.
And believe me, if you hooked onto the back end of the harness and tried to hold the dog, they pull me into the snow. And I've been dragged under the snow and while these guys are just walking along because I had the back end of the harness. But that's not the same kind of harness you're talking about.
Right.
And that's why Carol's right, especially people with little dogs, because you're stronger than the dog, at a, you know, up to a certain point. So the dogs, it does teach them to pull, actually. So it's a bad thing to use. And people have been... I have never heard of any injury to a dog from anything around their neck. All right.
Well, maybe I'll just
either
go
personally,
back to the collar.
Either personally or from anecdotally, but I'm sure it happens. It's not like it doesn't happen. But I have a feeling that with the gentle leader, those things also happen, but rarely. But I've never heard of one myself, so I wouldn't be so concerned about the dog pulling on a neck collar. They're not going to hurt themselves. They're not going to kill themselves. But if you find the gentle leader, you know, effective, the only thing I'd say add to what you're doing and what Carol said was good is I would have like a little cookie, and when she ignores the other dog, I'd give her the cookie as well as your praise and things like that.
Yeah, I carried treats with me for a while, and she didn't seem particularly interested in them. As we were passing dogs, she was so distracted mm-hmm. by the dogs. But to get to keep running and not have to stop with me seemed to be more reward. So mm-hmm. I stopped carrying the treats. But
you can try a tennis ball or something like that.
Yeah, she does love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, and let her.
It will not only distract her from the other dog, but it also acts as a reward.
I'll do that. I'll do that because I think that would probably be more reward for her in those situations.
Yeah. Those retrievers, they love the tennis balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does.
She'll probably run with it in her mouth.
Yeah.
You can also get tennis balls on a rope and things like that that are also very rewarding for retrievers.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. All right. Well, good. Thank you for the ideas and for the information.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
This is Focus, and this morning we're talking about dogs with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. My name is Celeste Quinn. No one waiting at the moment if you'd like to join us. If you've got a question or a comment, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So are classes underway yet at the dog training club?
Just ended.
We just ended September 18th. They'll resume.
Oh, okay. They couldn't have just ended September 18th because we haven't been there yet.
No, I said September 18th, they'll resume.
I know, but you hesitated there.
Well, I was trying to crunch up this peppermint without anybody hearing it.
Oh, okay.
Let's take another call. This is a listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I got a kind of a question. A few weeks ago, I had my granddaughters down at Meadowbrook Park, and 2 days in a row, people allowed their large dogs. They like lifted them up so they could drink from the only drinking fountain. And I protested the second time, and they said, "It doesn't make any difference. Kids put their mouth on a tube, blah blah blah. You know, and you know, like dogs are people too, kind of thing." And I was just wondering what your opinion about sharing drinking fountains with dogs.
I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Dogs' tongues go where, you know, no man has gone before. And
hope so.
They eat just incredibly bad things. To say that humans do it too, and, of course, humans have mouths teeming with bacteria as well, is small comfort, I think. But when you drink at a public fountain, it takes your chances.
I never drink at public fountains, period. I don't.
Well,
good for you, Sheldon.
And I can't get any traction for them to...
They'll call the park district.
I did, and they basically didn't do anything, but...
You won't see that once winter comes.
Well, yeah, but, you know, my granddaughters, I just don't want them to do that. They actually said, well, the lady actually put her hand over the spigot part, but the dog getting up there pawed across her hand and pawed over to the spigot. So I thought, well, you know, there's no
It'd be like putting your shoe on the spigot.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it doesn't even bother me that much to think about it. Yeah. I hate to say that to you, but I'm being honest, yeah.
Well,
I would much rather they give their dogs water than run the risk of them not having enough water and it be detrimental. I don't think it was the most hygienic thing to do, but then I don't drink out of public fountains, so.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea. There are all kinds of portable dishes that you can take and fill up, and so your dog can have water.
A lot of people said they take their dogs out on a hot day, they have a collapsible cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, collapsible dog dishes.
I think what bothered me the most was that they just didn't seem to get it. And
well, they're not going to get
nice
it.
People have their opinion too that, you know, they let their dogs lick them, you know, and they live with them, so they feel like dogs are people and they're not even worse than kids. But I just wondered, there didn't seem to be any law against it or ordinance.
No, there's no ordinance against it.
I don't know, is there?
But,
God, who would write an ordinance like that?
I don't know.
Somebody with so much time on their hands, don't let your dogs drink out of a public drinking fountain.
Oh, I just thought it was common sense.
I've seen places where they have the public drinking fountain, and they've got one that's lower to the ground that's specifically for dogs. So you might want to suggest that to the park district.
Yeah. Well, there's no money. No motivation. But thank you. Just wanted to put that out there. It bothers me, and if it doesn't bother anybody else, I guess I can't do anything about it.
Well, you got it off your chest.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And maybe somebody who's listening thought, you know, thinking, I never thought of it, you know?
It would be very difficult for either Jim or me to lift our dogs up to drink out of a public fountain.
We went to Borchard Gardens on Victoria Island.
Isn't it Borchard Gardens?
Borchard, B-O-R-C-H. Anyway, it's 50 or 60 acres of
formal gardens.
Oh, yes,
I like this story.
We went in with three other couples. All of us had Malamutes, and people taking our money said, you know, dogs are welcome. And boy, were they welcome. So everybody grabbed a dog, and we walked through. And the reason I bring this up is the water fountains had something for the people at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom mm-hmm. was a dog dish built into the framework of the water fountain with water constantly going through and then going up over something and draining out. So it was constantly fresh water for the dogs where any dog of any size could drink out of it. I don't know what that cost.
I wouldn't think it would cost that much.
It wasted a lot of water.
I don't imagine it's too big of an issue, to be honest with you. But maybe it is. I don't know.
This is Focus, and we're talking about dogs this morning with Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. We'll have more after a short break.
Barbara Streisand's new album is devoted to songs with lyrics by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the Bergmans. Their songs include That Face, The Way We Were, Nice and Easy, How Do You Keep the Music Playing, and What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? Join us.
But never will these eyes behold us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from AAA Storage in Urbana and Champaign, offering both climate-controlled and regular storage in all sizes with facility managers on site. AAA Storage, 1710 North Cunningham, Urbana, and 2202 North Market in Champaign.
This is Focus. We're back with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. Give us a call, 333-9455, 333-WILL. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free, 800-222-9455, and the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. Let's take another call. This is a listener in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi. Back to the dogs drinking out of water fountains issue. They have one of those low fountains on the west side of Hessel Park, a short fountain especially for dogs, so that's a nice part to take your dog to because they have a dog drinking fountain right there.
That's perfect to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's right along, it's on the west side, about halfway up, you know, about the middle of the pathway on the west side of the park. And, you know, even if you're at one of those, I mean, even if you're somewhere where you have a water fountain but not a dog water fountain, I mean, even a plastic bag, we always have extra bags along in case we need to clean up after them. Even one of those will adapt as a bowl. You know, I my dog kisses my face occasionally, but, you know, I don't assume that everybody else out there wants my dog to kiss their face either. So I think it's not really so nice to let your dog drink out of the fountain.
Well, I got the impression these people were lifting their dogs up to the fountain, that it wasn't actually an option on the dog's part to drink out of that fountain. So, there's a lot of little side issues there.
Right. Well, yeah, actually, we were on a vacation in California lately, and somebody was lifting their dog up to the fountain and drinking out of it. And, I mean, on the one hand, I thought, good, I'm glad the dog, you know, isn't going thirsty. But on the other hand, and certainly I would want somebody to do that, like you said, in an emergency. I would rather that somebody was saving, or not an emergency, but, you know, if the dog needed to drink, I would want that. But, you know, at the same time, dogs have long tongues, and there's no way that dog's tongue wasn't going all over the, you know, the actual spigot. And
well, they would laugh at it, I would think.
I don't. Well, I did. That was my initial reaction.
Yeah,
like,
they just lap at the water.
But also at the same time, I made a mental note not to use that water fountain.
Right.
You know, if somebody else needed to go drink out of it too, then. So I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to know actually what the. If it matters, you know, maybe the water's cold and the germs die. That was something else I wondered about. I mean, and I'm wondering if anybody else out there listening maybe knows something like that. Does it really matter?
I think the Urbana Park District should call the Champaign Park District and find out how much it costs to put that doggy public drinking fountain in and put them in Meadowbrook Park.
It's a very nice.
It's a nice feature.
Very nice little fountain. Okay, I always enjoy you guys' show very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Next we go and take a call from a listener in Urbana waiting for us on line 2. Hi.
Hi. I have a quick comment on the dogs drinking out of the fountains. I've watched them, and they get their tongue all over everything. And so I'm not at all an advocate of that, but I agree that maybe if we could get some of those little doggy things over in Urbana, that would be good. To have them up in parks in Chicago, and they're awesome. I have a new dog. I just went through 23 years of really wonderful, well-behaved dogs, and I've got a new dog that I'm having trouble teaching to walk with me. I've tried the gentle leader halter, and it works, except it rubs the fur off of his nose, and I don't feel very good about that, but it works. I've tried a couple of other.
Did you try loosening the band around the nose?
Yes.
You perhaps had it too tight?
Well, I've done both. I thought maybe I didn't have it tight enough. I thought maybe I had it too tight. He's half coonhound, half lab, and so he's all willful. Wonderful, smart, gentle dog, but man, does he like to pull. What is your favorite? What is your best result, your best practice for?
Are you near retirement? Do you have extra time?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is going to take some time, but it's really effective. And that is, you put a collar around the dog's neck. It could be a dead collar or a choker, doesn't matter. And the dog is going to start to pull. You just stand there and you hang on to the lead and let the dog pull. Eventually, he's going to stop pulling, probably to come up to you and say, what's the problem? Why aren't you walking? And as soon as he lets up pressure on the lead, you start walking. He's going to say, aha, we're walking again, and he's going to start pulling again. And the moment he starts pulling again, you just stop. And you stop moving every time he pulls until he stops pulling. Some dogs, it takes a while. Usually I can get a dog to not pull in about 5 minutes.
Wow.
I'm bringing mine to see you.
Yeah, well, I've had a dog where, you know, after 10 minutes they were still pulling, and you run out of time. So you have to set your time for this. And one of the reasons is, and we see it with, especially in the novice classes, the owner and the dog have made this compromise. I will pull this hard if you start walking with me. I won't pull any harder, but you also can't stop. So you see him
there.
You see him walking, and the question arises, if you are walking with the dog and he's pulling, why can't you walk with the dog when he's not pulling? Why is that? And the reason is you've trained the dog that if they pull at a certain pressure, you will walk with them. And the idea of just standing there and not moving is to untrain the dog. And it might take a little while. Now, one of the things is you don't want to say anything positive or negative. You don't want to use food. You don't want to use anything. You just want to stand there. And it doesn't matter why the dog stops pulling also. You know, if they stop pulling to come back and yell at you for not walking, whatever the reason, you start walking.
Do I reward them then once we take off?
The reward is the walking.
Okay.
The dog wants to go, but he can't because you're holding him back. And he's pulling and pulling as he has done, you know, his whole life up to that moment, and it's worked. You've started walking. But it's not working anymore. And he notices after a while, depends on how smart the dog is, he notices that when he stops pulling, that's when you start to walk. Up until now, you only started walking when he started pulling. So now he has to, and it's just a learned behavior. So you have to unlearn that behavior and teach him that you will walk with him and he can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to be at your side or anything. But he just can't pull. And so you just stand there. If he's pulling, you just stop. And if he stops pulling that and you start walking, that's his reward. You don't have to praise him. You don't have to give him cookies. You don't have to click. You don't have to do anything. The walking is the reward.
I'm throwing pieces of meat out of my pocket.
You don't need that. In fact, it's counterindicated because he'll run back to you for the food, and then he'll run back out and start pulling again as soon as you don't have food. And as you say, you'd have to carry a cow with you to just keep rewarding him.
Yeah, I've discovered that. I had to run out to the store and get more stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's I like food as a training aid, but it has its disadvantages. And one of them is the dog won't leave you alone. Some dogs won't leave you alone. They just want food. And if you don't give it to them, everything you've trained them using the food is gone. So here, and now you can't be cross. Whoops.
I think we lost the call, but you can continue on.
Yeah, you can't.
We haven't been electrocuted or anything.
It felt like it.
I know. Don't worry, we're all okay.
Well, we're talking to each other anyway. Yeah. It's a good sign.
Burned my nose hairs. You can't be cross with the dog no matter what they do. You know, this is not praise or correction or anything technique. It's just walking. Because the advantage of this is we know what the dog wants. Usually we don't know what they want. Do they want food? Do they want praise? Do they want a toy? Here, they want to walk. And once you know what they want, you've got them. So you can't walk unless you don't pull. Okay. I use this technique with dogs in a run. When you walk up, especially puppies, they'll run and hit the door with their paws as hard as they can. And I just stop. They know in their little doggy minds that I have to open the door so they can get out. And they don't understand that, but there's something I have to do with the door. And if I'm not near the door, I can't do it. So if I stop, I just wait until they stop jumping. Then I start walking again. And, of course, they start jumping again. I haven't taught them anything yet. And then I stop again. And after doing that, and sometimes it takes a while, and especially if you have two or three dogs and they're jumping at different times. But I've actually had dogs that have picked up on it, and another dog will jump, and they'll bite him. They don't jump. He's not going to open the door if you keep jumping, you idiot. So then I know that at least that one dog has learned what it means. So once you know what they want, I want the door open, I want to walk, you just deny them that until they do what you want, and then they'll do what you want.
Yeah. Have you seen instances where your dogs have learned something from one another, Carol?
Oh, countless. I can't think of one right now, but here's one that always makes me laugh every day. Robbie likes, they go out. Robbie likes his treats. And he's learned, because this is what I taught him inadvertently, he will go back to my bathroom and get a hairbrush, get a comb, get something he can bring out to the kitchen. Well, Andy's standing vigil, and she's looking, and then she'll look over her shoulder at me, and she goes, here he comes. He's got something he shouldn't have, so get his treat. So it's kind of it's just funny to me. You know, it's no harm done. So here he'll come trotting out all proud of himself, and he'll have a hairbrush or God knows what, and I go to get a treat to make him drop whatever he's had. And then Andy gets one, too. So she's encouraging him. She's telling me that it's hilarious. But, you know, it could be annoying to some people, but I tend to be rather benign about things like that. So, but it's every 7 days a week morning we do this.
There are unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. We train the dogs to, when they go out, I give them a cookie. So, because I don't want to argue with them about whether they're going out or not. And when we call them and they come back in, I give them a cookie so that they'll come when we call. Well, some dogs figure out, I go out, I get a cookie. I come in, I get a cookie. And they'll go out, get their cookie, and then run right back in and look at me like, where's my cookie? I go, no, that's not how it works.
And the ringing of the bell at the door. Yeah, that one didn't backfire on me because it's just, you know, it's a way of communicating. But often I'll hear that bell, and it's just one of them wanting a cookie. Mm-hmm. I say, no, you just don't get one just for ringing the bell. That is not what I taught you. So
no, it is, that's a problem. It is what you taught him.
It is what I taught him, yeah.
Let's take a call. This is a listener in Gilman on line 4. Hi. Line 4?
Yes. I have a question about a dog who has just started peeing on his master's bed.
No.
And are you...
Would you happen to be the master?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I used to think so.
Yeah. What kind of dog is it?
It's an old English sheepdog.
Mm-hmm.
And how old?
About 10 years old.
Well, that changes what I was going to say. I'd check him for UTI, upper urinary tract infection, I should say. Take him to the vet, take a pee sample. That's the most likely thing.
Does he sleep on your bed ordinarily?
Actually, she doesn't sleep on the bed, but she has spent quite a bit of time on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Is she neutered?
Yes.
Okay. It happens with older females that have been spayed that they don't necessarily have an infection, but as they get older, they lose control of their bladders.
Mm-hmm. So they call that spay incontinence. Isn't that correct?
I have a less flattering term for it. but yes, spay incontinence will do for the radio, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's very typical, and it's controllable. So, again, talk to your vet about that.
Okay.
And it doesn't require new surgery.
I don't think it's a question of spite or anger or jealousy or any of those other things. I think that she just needs some help.
And the obvious thing is don't let her on the bed.
Right.
But the reason is, and this is not my theory, but I think it's true, dogs – dominant dogs.
She's 10 years old.
Oh,
well, here looks being millions.
No, looks being passed across the table.
Wait till this show is broadcast over the internet. You'll get to see Carol look at me like I'm an idiot.
I didn't look at you like that.
But a dominant dog, any dog likes to sleep in the best place possible, and that certainly is where the master sleeps. And millions of dogs sleep with their owners, and nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
But
perhaps I should say that she's done this maybe 3 or 4 times when there was a thunderstorm outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last time, there was no apparent reason for it, and that's why we were really, really concerned about it.
I don't think that.
I'm more convinced it's the old, the spaying problem, although it could be a UTI.
That would be that's the
a,
first
it,
thing.
It sounds like a fear reaction. Where, if there's a thunderstorm and they can develop, you know, gun shyness or fear of loud noises later in life, but thunderstorms, she's fearful. She goes to the safest place she can find, mm-hmm. but she's still afraid. And of course, when you're afraid, all kinds of systems kick in, and you have fear responses. And one is you evacuate your bladder in case you have to run fast.
Is that why? In case you have to run away?
Yeah,
seriously?
You're preparing for flight. Yeah.
Wow. That explains a lot, doesn't it, Celeste?
I never knew that.
I never did.
The things you learn.
The things we learn, indeed.
So it may not be this, but it's consistent with it. So I'd check that. I don't think you have a dominance problem with her.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first thing I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Until we squelched you.
Until you gave me that dirty look, yes.
You should have seen it. It was effective.
Oh, man.
Man, it was one of those if looks could kill kind of things.
Yeah. Well, the left side of my face is burned. So she came close.
Hi. We've had a number of traumas here today in the studio, haven't we? Well, we hope that helps, and best to you and your girl.
The first thing you know you'd always do is go to the vet and help them help you determine what the situation is. Not in behavioral issues so much, but for a dog to begin urinating on the bed and the other times prior were due to a fear-related basis, there's something going on with her. But now I am so intrigued about your theory, I am going to have to Google that. Because it's like, okay,
it's
you're
not
getting
my theory. It's
no,
something
no,
I learned
no,
in
about
grade
this
school. Fight or flight.
I know that, but mm-hmm. I didn't know that meant you had to go to the bathroom first. Well, I think he might be making that up. What do you think?
No.
No.
You Google it.
I wonder sounds, if
it, I wonder
I could
if it crosses
that.
Into the human species.
I could,
it must.
I could look into this here now.
It's also, it can be a fear reaction. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for evacuating your bladder. One, you have to go.
I was so scared that I...
Mm-hmm. I lost control.
I did.
I guess we should carry on some kind of conversation while she's Googling.
Let's elevate the conversation. So what do you think of existentialism?
Oh, you know, you did bring up a good point because most people, myself included, were caught off guard by the recent heat because it was only in the 70s on Monday, wasn't it?
It was pleasant.
Very
pleasant. I thought we'd rounded the corner. I was
happy.
And
then this little thing sneaked up on us, and it's 100 and...
Oh, man.
I think it's 100 today. I think yesterday...
My thermometer
was
said 130, so it's hot.
But anyway, please keep your animals' welfare first and foremost in your minds, because if we got lulled into this night, it's so nice and pleasant out, they did as well. So if you can bring them in during the heat of the day, make certain they have plenty of fresh water, make certain that... if you can't bring them in, that they have ample shade.
And fresh water.
Yeah, but for me, working outside those last 2 days, and I was in a huge tent, which didn't make it much better, but walking on the pavement at the Farm Progress mm-hmm. Show, you could feel the heat radiating off that.
I haven't been there in the summer, but the Kennel Club has their annual dog show on those grounds.
Yes, indeed.
But it's like in April. And it's so windy, it has
there
been.
Was a nice...
Those
well,
tents just kind of fly off to
well,
Kansas
there's
someplace.
More, there are more, yes.
I have the answer.
What?
But you were finish up
They have
last
more permanent buildings there.
Okay. All right. When you're faced with a stressful situation, you'll probably notice that your heart starts to beat faster, you breathe more rapidly, your skin gets cold and clammy, your mouth feels dry, your pupils dilate. There's all kinds of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's
skip
to the chase. Okay, the faster, deeper breathing brings more oxygen into the blood, and this helps the muscles to work faster. Opening of the bladder and bowels reduces the need for other internal activity, lessens your weight if you flee, and may put off attackers.
You are so right.
If you end up
I'm
in a
so
fight,
oh, that's unusual.
You'll hit harder, jump higher, and think and dodge faster than usual. In case of flight, you'll run faster, see better, and hear more acutely.
Dogs have, I don't know if they're the best in the world of species, but they have a very good ability to convert oxygen and for muscle use and nutrition for muscle use, which is why sled dogs can run 125 miles, go to sleep, wake up, run 125 miles, go to sleep, wake up, run 125 miles.
We got the picture.
Yeah, I was only going to do three. You always do three and do that for 9 or 10 days and without apparent cramps. If we ran that far, after about a mile, we'd probably fall over and say, the heck with this.
You'd be all cramped up and
cramped
everything.
Your bladder would
evacuate.
You know,
there's something to that because, you know, Sunday night, Robbie, I called him in. He was nowhere to be found. I flicked on the light, and here he is in the pond. Couldn't get out. Could not get out because of all the water lily and all that icky stuff that's in ponds. And it was just amazing. I went out. I had a slip lead, threw it over his head like he was a cow, ripped down the fence. It's all there, been there for 10 years. I ripped it, and I pulled him out of the water by this leash. I thought, what? How did that happen? I mean, it was just
superhuman.
But I never even stopped to think about what I was doing. It just had to be done. And then, of course, he came out and shook that water all over me. And ugh. But it's just amazing how where your energy comes from. Good thing I didn't do a.
This isn't an energy story. I was getting ready to go to work, and I always wear a tie, you know, suit and everything. And I go out, couldn't find Jim, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls had dug a den for puppies. Jim was old, and he couldn't use his rear very well. He'd gone down in there, turned around, but he didn't have the rear-end strength to get
out.
The thing kind of went down and then back in. So I had to go back in the house, change, and it was a hot day like today. And I had to crawl down in there, and I started to pull his feet. And of course, he's in pain because of his rear, so he tried to bite me. So I'm thinking, oh, man. So I got a rope, put it around him, pulled him, got him up. He got out. It took me an hour and a half to do this. I'm covered with dirt. I'm sweating. I'm pine needles all over me because it was near a pine tree. He got up, shook it off, and just walked away. And I'm going, you son of a gun. He didn't even say thank you.
Another day, poker flag. Yeah. Well, we've used up the time.
Oh, my goodness.
It flew by.
In October. Oh, my God.
October. It will be cooler, right? Okay. Well,
it
good to
be.
See you this month. You brightened my day.
I can
you
see
lifted
that.
Lifted my spirits. So thanks. And we'll see you
That's worth every penny we make, isn't it, Jim, to make her happy? It
cost me a dollar to park here, you know.
I gave you the quarters.
No,
you gave her the quarters.
I used the money. I gave
you
the
her
two
the quarters. I didn't get any quarters.
Well, we'll have a rebate next month.
Well, I'm deducting it from my taxes.
Okay. All right, we've got to go because I've got to read some numbers and I've got to do a legal ID. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. Carol and Jim, our dog trainers, will be back on the first Friday of October.
Like today. And I had to crawl down in there and I started to pull his feet. Of course, he's in pain because of his rear. So he tried to bite me. So I'm thinking, oh, man. So I got a rope, put it around him, pulled him, got him up. He got out. It took me an hour and a half to do this. I'm covered with dirt. I'm sweating. I'm pine needles all over me because it was near a pine tree. He got up, shook it off, and just walked away. And I'm going, you son of a gun. He didn't even say thank you.
Another day, poker flag.
Yeah.
Well, we've used up the time.
Oh, my goodness.
It flew by.
In October. Oh, my God.
October. It will be cooler, right? Okay. Well,
it
good to
be.
See you this month. You brightened my day.
I can
you
see that.
You lifted my spirits. So thanks. And we'll see you
That's
in
worth every penny we make, isn't it, Jim, to make her happy.
Cost me a dollar to park here, you know.
I gave you the quarters.
No,
you gave her the quarters.
I used the money. I gave
you
the two
her the quarters. I didn't get any quarters.
Well, we'll have a rebate next month.
Well, I'm deducting it from my taxes.
Okay. All right, we've got to go because I've got to read some numbers and I've got to do a legal ID. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. Carol and Jim, our dog trainers, will be back on the first Friday of October. In Kansas City, September wheat is trading at 862. That's up 14. December, 885 and a quarter, up 13 and a quarter. September wheat in Chicago, 730 and a half, up 15. December, 774 and a half, up 13 and a half. September corn, 751 and three quarters, up 23. December, 761 and a quarter, up 22 and three quarters. March, 772 and a half, up 21 and three quarters. May, 780 and a half, up 24. September soybeans, 1440 and a half, up 15 and three quarters. November, 1449, up, make that 1449 and a quarter, up 14 and three quarters. January, 1459 and a quarter, up 14. March, 1462 and a half, up 12 and three quarters. September meal, 379.80, up 320. September oil, 5808.